708 texted in and said, how did the Highland Park shooter have easy access to the ladder behind the building he shot from? Ladders connected to buildings usually have security cages around them or are well off the ground. Seems that he probably saw this ladder previous to his attack. 708 said, what about his family? His parents, are they clueless? Yeah, I understand that question. I'm kind of curious about that, too. They said he lived with his uncle. I also heard that he lived with his uncle and his father. So I don't know if there's a clue there to the nature of his family life. But anybody in that family who knew of his posts or his demeanor should have, what is the question, right? Quick question, John. Didn't anyone in the crowd notice a person or movement on the roof? It's a close distance. And one more. John, please mention that blood donations are very important at this time. It can't be emphasized enough. Yeah, no kidding. Kristen Zeman, the former Aurora police chief, the author of a book about her journey in policing, has joined us a couple of times lately. We've called upon her again today to offer her thoughts and expertise. Hey, Kristen, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm sorry to be here under these circumstances.
What are your thoughts about this today? What could we learn or should we have learned?
Yeah, you know, this is, I think I had mentioned earlier when I was on the show that this is why I left policing early, to go around the nation and talk about prevention. And I have shared that out of, you know, 99 of 100 of these mass shootings, there are signs, and we are tripping over red flags, and this is no different.
Red flags in this case were what?
There are videos posted. Last night, I went to bed and watched all these videos, and of course, that was a terrible idea because it kept me up all night, because this is a foreshadow. I mean, he basically lays the groundwork for what he's going to do, you know, and I think we're going to find, as all of the information comes out, that this was willful, wanton, calculated. It was a targeted act of violence by a criminal.
Does this fall, in that case, in your mind, under the umbrella of mental health?
I know that it does, right? But what I really want to push back on is that by default, we always say, oh, this person was mentally ill, and as if that it absolves someone. And to me, it's offensive to those people who are dealing with mental health issues, those who suffer from depression, who are not homicidal. So this to me is a criminal intent. And of course, you can most certainly make the case for, is his mental state normal, quotes, I'm using air quotes. Of course not. But these are the clues that people are laying down. And so this becomes, again, it's calculated, it's criminal.
I also think that it sort of gets people off the hook for the shared responsibility we have in this country with our gun laws. If you can say, well, it's mental health, I can't do anything about that, the guy's crazy. And now there's no responsibility on my part to rethink gun laws, because it's not about gun laws, it's not about guns, it's about mental health. And I think that's a cop-out.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Now, here where guns come into the mix, but let's back up for sure. So this is, again, why I go around speaking, is let's talk about the culture that we've created of reporting. So obviously, this guy is posting videos, again, a foreshadow of what, you know, what is to come. Now, some, of course, other people post that and they don't, that nothing transpires. But now you have to look at this individual's, not only the actions, the posts, then now the question becomes, what access does this person have to a weapon? So it's like, you know that there are some tendencies for violence. Now, can they make that actionable? And do they have access? And this is where we have to start concentrating.
I asked you what the red flags were, and one of our listeners texted this, and all of the warning signs were there. We need full-time law enforcement division to monitor threatening social media posts. Freedom of speech is one thing, but a blueprint for mass murder is different. How practical do you think that is, Kristen?
I'm going to agree with that caller. Whether it's law enforcement or another arm of practitioners, this is where I want to concentrate on legislation and funding to develop threat matrix. So you get this threat, you scour, someone reports it, and then you determine, wow, this person has a propensity to commit acts of violence. Now what? And we do this in schools when someone has the wherewithal to report a threat. What we do as law enforcement is look at their past, their history. Do they have a history of violence, of mental health issues? Then the first thing that we do is show up at the house of this student, talk to the parents. Are there access to weapons? And so this team has to be created. And to your caller's point, it doesn't exist yet. And honestly, I think it has to be a hybrid of law enforcement and of practitioners that can develop a threat matrix and determine which of these individuals has the propensity to carry out this threat.
Well, I'm okay with that, but if I were to play the devil's advocate, I would say, so somebody's going to post an angry video. This is my point to Bob Surratt earlier this morning. They're going to post an angry video or a rant, and then someone's going to see it, and they're going to show up at their house, and maybe they're going to, quote-unquote, harass them or take away their guns or keep them from getting a gun. And there's plenty of people that are going to say, that's a violation of my rights. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to say it. And you can't just show up at my house and take my gun. Or what are you going to do about it? Put me in a hospital? I haven't committed a crime yet. I'm frustrated by what we can do about this.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And see, this is where law enforcement, right, this has been the past of when you call law enforcement and you say, here's the deal, this individual's angry, and, you know, dot, dot, dot. Law enforcement's response has typically been, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do until they commit an act of violence, which is also another absurdity. So there's a sweet spot somewhere in there, John, and I understand because we and I'm speaking when I say we, law enforcement, there is Fourth Amendment, you know, and we cannot cross that line. And so, but that means that other practitioners then might need to come in and determine, is this person a credible threat? So the answer is somewhere in the middle.
And we sort of need a cultural shift. We need to sort of agree that while we have a right to bear arms, listen to this. This is a quote from the Sun-Times editorial today. They write, what truly is freedom? Access to an unlimited number of firearms with too few rules governing who can carry them? Or the freedom to go to a parade, to church, to school, to a theater, to a concert without fear? And I think what we've done is we've given all of the rights, if you will, to the gun owners. But what about my right to go to a parade and not have to worry about it?
What a juxtaposition. And that's what we've been talking about, this very topic of what do we do? Stay home? You know, not leave our homes? Do we not go and celebrate holidays with our family, with our community? You know, the answer, I shudder to think of that as a society, that we just can't go anywhere for fear of getting shot, you know, but yet the reality is, yeah, we have to keep our heads on a swivel. And it's a sad state of existence.
Kristen Zeman is fast becoming a voice of reason and energy on this topic. The former Aurora police chief is the author of a new book, Reimagining Blue, Thoughts on Life, Leadership, and a New Way Forward in Policing. She's been tasked by the Justice Department to be on a commission looking into this sort of stuff. Kristen, do the work and report back to us anytime.
Oh, thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.